needed. Got the power in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you all this morning. You know, when we sing that song, we haven't sang it often, but I think of Brother Dixon. He wrote that. He had different verses to it. And he used to sing, "Give me your hand, let us agree together. Then all of our enemies will crumple under our feet." And Dixon was no bigger probably than Brother Larry, but he had some voice. And he was anointed. And he really could sing. Praise God. And we really miss Brother Dixon. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in the Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 10. I want to look at this morning, and I've been going through the book of Samuel each Thursday night, and I wasn't really going to go into Samuel on the morning service, but then I felt led to, and when I went and prayed about it, and I felt to continue on this from Thursday night. And there's so much in the book of Samuel. I've never preached from the book of Samuel directly like this before, but it's so much in the book of Samuel. It's been a real blessing, praise the Lord. Let's read from verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head. Now this is Saul, the anointed. And that's going to be my message this morning, Saul the anointed. And I've heard a lot of negative preaching about Saul, but you're going to hear positive preaching about him this morning. And I'm not worried all about the bad points. I'm going to bring you out the good points. And we're going to take some lessons from Saul, which is good for us. Amen. So this is Samuel, and Samuel's anointing Saul, just in case someone wouldn't understand. And he took the vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me this today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin of Zelah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father have left the care of the asses, and sorrow for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to battle. One carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine, and they shall salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where there is a garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, with a tabret, with a pipe, and with a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as the keys and serve thee, for God is with thee." Let's bow our heads again. Forgive me for being a bit emotional. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before your lovely presence. In the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we welcome the Holy Spirit into this house and into this room. And we pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We ask for us the same as Saul this morning, that when the Spirit of the Lord comes, may we be turned into different people. Oh God, help us this morning. We need you. Every hour we need thee. We need your touch, your power, your presence, your glory. With ourselves we can do nothing, but with you anything is possible. Lord, I'm asking you to touch your people from the crown of the head to the soles of their feet. May they know your presence this morning and your power in this house. And may their fears vanish and go away. And may the peace of God come upon them, I pray, and touch those that need healing in the bodies right now. in the mighty name of Jesus. Confirm your own word with signs following. I do take the Holy Ghost right now. Lord, I'm conscious of your presence now. And I pray you'll have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. Just for a little background for those that maybe weren't the Thursday night, and if you want to listen to any of the messages, are all recorded. You can go back on our messages and follow them if you want to. But Saul has been sent from his father, and the asses has been lost, and Saul's went to find these asses. And he's away longer than he should have been away. But God has spoken to Samuel the prophet in between all this. And Samuel the prophet knows Saul's coming. And I mentioned on Thursday night, Samuel was a prophet of God and Samuel was a seer. Now we never had that for a long time, but we know in the 20th century that God again sent a man in the spirit of Elijah who was a prophet and a seer of God. Just like Samuel in the Bible. Now Samuel's very special. He's special because the Bible says not one word of Samuel would fall to the ground all of his days. So everything that Samuel would see and say would absolutely come to pass. And God showed him Saul's coming. And God gave Samuel instructions what's to happen with Saul. And one of these instructions is that he's going to anoint him because God has chosen Saul to be anointed to be the captain over his host. Now we saw also that Saul was head and shoulders above anyone else in the whole of the land. He was blessed physically. He was good looking. He had a powerful body, a powerful physique, and God chose him for this. And then I mentioned on Thursday night that our body is to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now God picks small men and God picks big men and God picks the thin and the fat. He picks just whoever he wants. And I can prove that from the Bible. So it doesn't matter if you're short or tall or broad or narrow. The Lord's still got something for you. Amen. But this man just happens to be tall. And a goodly looking man and a tall man. So tall he's head and shoulders above everybody else. And Samuel's going to anoint him. And I want to talk about this anointing. And you see, separate it. By the anointing. You can write that down. That's the first thing I want you to see. He is separated by the anointing. And I want to say this morning, and I want to make a statement in this pulpit, that every true preacher and every true servant of God is separated by the anointing. And if they've never been separated by the anointing, the call of God, in my opinion, is not on them. Because every person God calls for work, he anoints them. He anoints them, and the anointing will separate. And it'll not only separate, it will break the yokes. It will destroy the yokes of bondage. Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it upon his head, verse 1, as a sign that the Lord had anointed him. Now we know that kings and priests were usually all called in this fashion all through the Old Testament. Exodus 29, verse 7 says this, then thou shalt take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. 2 Kings 9, verse 3. Then take the box of oil and pour it upon his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then openeth the door and flee and tarry not. All God's chosen ones are still to be separated unto himself by the holy anointing. This is God's unchangeable, unflexible, divine principle in this Bible. And I tell you, this is very important. It's very important. Because we can never do nothing of our own selves. We need the anointing. If you were to go back to the ministry that God sent in the 20th century to the man that had a seventh grade education, so he had no learning to do the job, but he had the anointing and the calling of God to do it. And look what was done. Smith Wigglesworth couldn't even talk straight. He stuttered when he spoke. He couldn't even talk. But one night, the Holy Spirit baptized him, and an anointing came on him, and that man shook the world, didn't he? He was mightily used of God. There's so many books written about him. And I could go on. Jack Cohen, so many others that God anointed. The anointing is needed. Hallelujah. And Jesus also was anointed. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath sent me, he hath anointed me, to set at liberty the end that are bruised, to open the prison doors. Anointed of the Father was the Lord Jesus to set the captives free. We need the anointing. May God help us to move in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We don't want to come and play church. We want to be moved by the Spirit of the Lord, and we want to be anointed of the Lord. And God can do more in 5 minutes with a man anointed than he can do in a lifetime in our own ambitions. It won't work. We need the power of God. 1 John 2:27 says this, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not any man to teach you." Too often we're looking for somebody else to tell us what to do. Too often, and I'm guilty of it myself, William Branham, a prophet, God was guilty of it. He kept asking and looking this and that, and he was told, go forth in faith. Go forward in faith and do it. But when you receive the anointing, you have a teacher in you already. There's someone in you, the Holy Spirit in you, that the Bible says, and if you can't break that scripture, he'll teach you all things you need to know about. It's the Holy Spirit you need, that I need, because he's the guide. He is the guide. And you know that wonderful sermon called The Guide, where the prophet of God was lost on the mountain, and his wife and the children lost. Snow and a storm. And he prayed and prayed, and they were going to die. Then he remembered that there was a line put up, and he put up in the dark, in the storm, and he found a line. And the line led him back to safety, to the cabin. And I tell you, he preached that wonderful sermon called The Guide, and there is a line that we must get a hold of, and it's the guide. And our guide this morning is not a church, it's not an organization, it's not the orange hall or the green hall or the blue hall or the purple hall or any other hall. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's our guide. That's our guide. And we need to grip by faith the Holy Spirit, and he will lead us to our destination every single time. And we need not be going left and right, here, there, and yonder. We need to go where the Holy Spirit wants us to go. You won't be allowed to go everywhere you want, but you will go for he leads you to go, because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Saul was anointed. I don't know how far I'll get with this message this morning, but the Lord knows anyhow. Which ye have received abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you the all things, and is truth, and no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. This is the secret. This is what God's showing me in private preparation. I brought it out Wednesday, Thursday night. I'm bringing it again this morning. Our accounts need to be short with the Lord. What I mean by that is, we need to be praying regular. God doesn't want us to pray, you know, in the morning and that's it for the rest of the week, or we come to church on a Sunday and that's our last meeting with God to the next Sunday. We need to have short accounts with the Lord. Regular. God wants us to be regular. And I tell you, we saw that in the book of Samuel. You know, there was but a very short interval between the revelation of the divine purpose to Saul and the outpouring of the oil of consecration upon his head. God gave him the revelation, and then the oil came on him. And when God gives you a revelation, stimulation, remember, it's stimulation. Revelation is stimulation. People say, I don't need any revelation. We need revelation. We are living in the age where there shall be light at the evening time. In the greatest dispensation, when the truth of God's been unfolded and the mysteries that was hidden has been unveiled. According to Revelation 10:7, the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God shall be declared, made known. Finished. And we need revelation. But with the revelation, we need this oil of anointing. It's good to have the revelation, but we want them both. He had the revelation, and immediately the oil come on him. Isn't that wonderful? We need the both. Will you say amen to that this morning? You can have the truth and no anointing. Then you've got a vehicle, but it's not going anywhere, for there's no dynamics with it. You need the vehicle, but you need to make the dynamics with it. Hallelujah. And we need the truth, and we need the oil of God, the outpouring of the oil of consecration. As soon as we know the will of God, we shall be separated unto him. Amen. And that we believed, when you believe, you were sealed. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel. Remember, you should mark that in your Bible. It doesn't say any organization. It says the gospel. Yeah. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel, Jesus saves, is the word of truth. And after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So don't get saved and not get sealed. But the Lord wants you to get saved, and he wants you to get sealed at the same time. Amen? Don't say the Holy Spirit's not for me. The Holy Spirit moved you to get saved, and the same Holy Spirit that moved you to get saved, you already have a portion of the Holy Spirit, but you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. May God fill us. Here's another thing, encouraged by the promises. We can be encouraged by the promises. And you read verse 2. Two men shall say unto thee, the asses are found. I tell you, all that Saul was worrying about, which was lost, was already found. He didn't know at what point they were found. He was worried about them. Then his worry left them till his father, because his father was going to be looking for him, for he was away too long. Amen. Now, I don't want to go back into that tonight. I preached that Thursday night. I went through that, and the Lord helped me to say things that I didn't know I was going to say. That's all I'll say about that. But the Lord's good, isn't it? You see, the prophet gave him a threefold word of assurance. A threefold word of assurance that the prophet gave him. There was a promise concerning his business. A promise concerning the business. Number two, concerning his bodily wants, also a promise. So it was a promise for his business. There was a promise for his bodily wants. Number three, there was a spiritual need. Concerning his spiritual need, there was a promise as well. So God can bless you spiritually, physically, and in business. This is the word of God. That's what God's saying. God can give you a better job if you need one. The Lord can prosper you. He can bless you. If you're saved, you've been blessed. In your physical body, you are blessed. Healing, we believe in healing, but you could be healed today and be sick next week. Healing wouldn't actually take you to heaven, but salvation and being saved takes you the whole way to heaven. Amen. 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 Why don't you understand that? We're going to need everything in this flesh while we're here till the Lord comes. Praise God. Now you see all these things, verse 3 to 4. Now let me go back concerning this business. This is why in verse 2, the two men found should say unto thee, the asses are found. So the business he had that he thought was lost was all right. Amen. Maybe you had some sort of business going on that you thought would be lost, but the Lord's saying it's going to be all right. Now you don't know about it, but somebody else knows about it, and the somebody else that knows about it told the prophet about it, and the prophet already had the details before Saul knew them. And God has the details even before me and you know it. And God knows everything, the steps he has before us, before we even take them. For the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Ordered. And isn't that beautiful? Now that's concerning his bodily wants. Verse 3 and 4. Three men will give him two loaves of bread. There's your financial blessing for your physical need, your work. Whatever way you want to look at it, the three men's going to give you the loaves of bread. The substance you need is already in place. Did you hear that? Want you to really get this morning. The substance you need's in place. All that we have need of is ready in Christ Jesus for us. Everything. Number 3, concerning the spiritual need. Verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. This is really important. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. He was assured that as children of God, all things would work together for his good, and that God would make the grace abound toward him. And God can make grace abound towards every one of us. This threefold assurance, every one of us have this, who has received the anointing of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ as our Savior. Romans 8, verse 32 says this, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Don't look here, there, and yonder for your provision or for your needs. You need to look to the Lord. It is in the Lord Jesus. Everything we're ever going to need, that we're ever going to desire, is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's wonderful. He's absolutely wonderful. Here's another thing. Changed by grace. Saul was changed by grace. And I tell you, verse 9 says, God give him another heart. Isn't that right? Now you can read it here in Samuel 1, chapter 10, verse 9. God will give him another heart. Now we may reckon this change as equal to the regeneration. It's like me and you. When a man and woman is born again, they're changed. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're changed. You become a new creature. It's the grace of God. You're saved by grace through faith. That's how you're saved. It's none of yourself. It's none of works. But it is the grace of God. And this grace was given to him, praise God. And his heart was changed, praise God. This sudden and unexpected revelation of the purpose of God concerning him had morally made another man. He was changed, totally changed. The grace of God that bring of salvation is revealed to us and received by us. It is revealed to us. The Holy Spirit moves a man or a woman. It's revealed to you. You can't come unless God draws you. Did you know that? No man cometh unto me except the Father draweth him. No man can know Jesus save to him who the Father will reveal him. That's the Bible. Thank God for the moving of the Holy Spirit. And no man can be the same after the kingdom of God visits that man. He cannot or she cannot be the same. You see, if the gospel has not been brought till us, another heart can't be in us. But when the gospel is brought till us, we can have another heart, a new heart. Here's another thing. He was assured by the circumstances. Not only can you expect it spiritually, but you can see things, what God can do. God can do things that you'll actually see happening, a change. Verse 9, all those signs came to pass. He saw it. I tell you, I could mention so many things this morning, what I was told so many years ago, and they've came to pass. I've sought. I want to see more, but I've sought. You're sitting there, many of you, you've sought. God's done so many things for us. If we were to think about it this morning, the Lord's done so much for every one of us. Like the wee song says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and surprise you the things the Lord's done. You know, when you think of the life story of William Branham, the man had absolutely nothing. There's a wee fella at school and he cut an arm out of a jacket and he gave him and he didn't even have the whole jacket. He had no shoes in his feet or anything. But God blessed that man. God did eventually bless that man. He had no friends and at the end of it he had so many friends. And I'm only giving you for an example what God can do for somebody. God can do it. Amen. And you remember this morning you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll never leave you. He'll never fail you. And he'll never forsake you. The Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blessed experience to find that our outward circumstances are made to conform to the thoughts and intents of the inner life. It's in here that God changes you. In here. With a mouth the confession is made, but with a heart you believe unto salvation. God changes in here, and it comes out, it's expressed on the outside. When the purpose of God's been revealed, our hearts and lives willingly yield it to the fulfillment of the purpose of God. Praise God. You know, you could read Ezekiel 1 and 18, but let me just say this, the outer wheels of circumstances never move contrary to the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. And in Ezekiel, there was a wheel in the midst of the wheel, and it could go any road it went, but it still went straight. Now, I can't understand it, neither can you, but it happened. And I tell you, you might think this morning things are terrible, but if the Holy Spirit's leading you, it's going to work out all right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's no matter what's looking to take place, trust in the Lord, and he's promised he'll direct your path. The wheel in the midst of the wheel. It could go any road, but it still went straight. It's not remarkable. Praise God. Here's another thing. He was moved by the Spirit. You can read that in verse 10. The Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied. Here's a young man that's never prophesied. I want you to get this. He's never prophesied before. This young man's never prophesied before. He's never moved like this before. But when the Spirit of God comes on him, he prophesies. But Samuel knew all about it, that it was going to happen. And Samuel foresaw it by vision, what was going to take place. And he told him, the Spirit of God will come on you and you'll be turned into another man. And it's only the Spirit of God. I want to God that every preacher that gets in the pulpit's turned to the different man. For we're no use to our own selves. We need to get turned. God needs to do something on us. And you know this, prophesying here can be interpreted as preaching as well. And prophesying as well, I'm not saying it's not, but you understand what I'm saying? We need the Lord in preaching. And Saul here prophesies with the prophets. And he's numbered with them. And you'll even read through other scriptures, and Saul was numbered with the prophets. And God's word can't be broke. He was numbered with them, and he did prophesy. And he foretold things. And he reminded them of things as well. He reminded them of what God's word was and what was going to happen as well. The past, the present, the future. That's God. God knows your past, your present, and your future. But under the blood of Jesus Christ, your past's gone. Your past is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Lord knows your future. You could also read verse 10, verse 11. When the Spirit of God comes upon anyone, there's sure to be signs following. Isn't that the truth? Signs following. When the Spirit of God comes upon any man or woman, there's signs following. Praise God. Amen? It is but natural for Saul to join in the song of the prophet band when he prophesied the same Spirit. The word of Samuel was fulfilled. Verse 6. What Samuel said was fulfilled. And it had to be fulfilled. Because none of Samuel's words could fall. And I tell you, when somebody really speaks under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it will come to pass. Now, everything around it might look that it can't happen, but it will come to pass. Because it is God talking. A prophet is God's mouthpiece. And Samuel was God's mouthpiece. And Samuel was moved by the Spirit of the Lord. And he spoke as he's moved by the Holy Ghost. Doesn't it say that men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us that. And thank God, God can still move men with the Holy Ghost. You know, man at his best, apart from the Holy Ghost, is but a poor, just a weakling in the service of God. All of us were just weaklings without the Spirit of God. But the gift of the Spirit is assurance to God to us. And signs will follow when there's a Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. Praise God. You see, this power, this wisdom, it's all these resources is in him. And we can have them through the Lord Jesus. John 16, verse 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. You're looking at a word from the Lord, you need to go to the Lord. You need to go to the Lord. There's no point going nowhere else. Now, God can move a man of God or a woman of God, but we believe that. But you need to be praying. You need to have short accounts. You need to be in communion with the Father, spending time in prayer. Amen? And then you can have it. You see, this was a priceless privilege conferred here in Saul on an astonishing favor. It's Saul also among the prophets. This is a privilege Saul had, that he was among the prophets, but God done it. Here's another thing, and I'm not going to be real long this morning. You know, he was humbled by the prospect. Humbled by the prospect. You know, many years ago I heard of a true story of a young man, and he went to preach. And this young fellow went to preach, and he went to preach, and he came down to the platform like he was something. You know, on the chest out and everything, and he was just going to have a big word from the Lord. When he got into it, and he gave us big matches he had, but nobody was amening him. Well, hallelujah, but it wasn't being received too well. And he came back down, and when he came back down, he was like that. He wasn't like this, he was like that. And he came back down to share, and an old fella plucked his coat, and he says, if you had went up the way you come down, you would have come down the way you went up. And I tell you, see here, there's a humbleness in God's work. We can't jump up and say, I'll tell you what, I've got this gift and I'm going to do this and that. We have to be sincere about it. Amen. And even if we know God has blessed us, we have to be humble about it. Praise God. And Saul, it says here, you can read verse 21, 22. Saul was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Behold, he had been hid amongst the stuff. While he was little in his own eyes, all things kept working together for good. While he was little in his own eyes. Now, let me tell you, it's a statement. Who's ever heard of Oral Roberts? Oral Roberts was mightily used of God. And William Branham said he was one of the angel messengers. Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, is that right? But Oral Roberts' mother came to him, and Oral Roberts' mother said to him, stay small in your own eyes. She knew God was going to do big things with him. And she told him, stay small in your own eyes, son. Stay little in your own eyes. Obey God, and you'll bless the world. You will bless not just the country, the world. You will bless the world if you stay small in your own eyes. And Saul was used of God. He was chosen. He was anointed. And while he stayed small in his own eyes, he was used to God. But once he started to think he was something, that changed, didn't it? It changed. But we need to stay small in our own eyes. You know, Jack Cole said that you have to get down real, real low to get this. He says you can't get it up high. And people refer to Aol and how God used Aol. But they forget the days he fasted and prayed, hid under the closet, under the stairs. And his wife says, she says, I'll be back to let you out in an hour. You do this all the time. He says, not this time. Don't let me out. Lock me in. And I don't know how long he was in there for, but a light appeared to him. And he had a pen and a paper. And he was written down instructions. And there was things that he was not allowed to do. And he took one of them promises that he was given to the grave. Nobody ever knew what it was. I've tried to find it out myself and I can never be able to do it. I can find out a lot of the other ones, but not this one thing. And there's some things what a preacher might not be able to do, what other people can do. Now, you might never understand that, but I'm telling you, this is the Bible. And you know that Samson wasn't allowed to cut them locks of his hair. Other fellas could have cut them, wouldn't have made a difference. But Samson, they were the Nazarite vow locks. He wasn't allowed to cut them. That's where strength lay. And you see, this is the way God works. No matter what God does, we're to stay small in our own eyes. It's the grace of God that, you know, that puts us in the place we are, but God doesn't want us puffed up. You know, the kingdom of God had to come in into them. Not because he sought it or wrought it. It was a gift of God. God done this for Saul. Saul didn't seek for this. God chose him. And God gave it to him. And none of us sought for what we had. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord chose us. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The Lord loves you this morning. Amen. The Lord loves you. Praise God. He was deeply conscious of his insignificance. You know, when there's so many other scriptures in chapter 9, 21, you could read about that. But grace delights, you know, you don't lavish something, what you have over somebody else. You know what I mean? You have to stay humble. And in the natural, it's well, you know, some people are wealthy and they want to let you know they're wealthy. And then some people think they're cut above somebody else. Maybe they can afford better clothes and better houses and cars, but in God's own eyes, everyone's the same. So we have to stay humble. Amen? And the Bible warns about that. The man coming in with the jewels and the other one coming in a beggar, telling us, make sure how we'll treat them the same. You know, I think of that. When I think of that, I think of Jack Coe. And Jack Coe was asked to preach in a city in America. And the fella come to Jack Coe and he pulled his apron, his coat tails. And he says, Coe, you need to go real easy tonight. The mayor of the city's in. Coe said, all right. And Jack Coe got up and the first thing Jack Coe said was, he says, I believe the mayor of the city's in tonight. And he said, well, if the mayor of the city's not born again, he'll go to hell just like the trash can man if he's not born again. So that's how he started a sermon off. You know, did you ever know, who's ever heard of R.J. Shambuck? R.J. Shambuck was doing a tank meeting and there's a fellow went down the road on a motorbike. Now I know of a brethren meetings years ago for the same thing happened. For a boy rode down on the bike and he told the wee brethren man, the brethren man said, son, would you not come in to the meeting and hear the gospel? And he said, I'll ride this back to hell before it went there. That's exactly what he done. He was killed after. And this young man, the same thing with R.J. Shambuck in America, he rode the bike. And Shambuck asked him, would he not come into the meeting? And he said the same thing. And he rode that back to hell. He was killed after. And he wasn't saved. And all his friends came to the funeral. And despite of all what happened, there's prayers for Christian people of that young man that was killed in the bike. And they asked Shambuck, R.J. Shambuck, to do the funeral. It was Shambuck or else a friend of Shambuck's, if I'm telling you wrong, but it was a preacher anyhow. And the preacher was there and all these bikers came and all their Hell's Angels and all their gear and everything. They came in the hundreds to the funeral. And there was his coffin out. And you know how the preacher started the funeral service? He stepped over to the coffin and he hit the coffin like that with his hand hard. And he said, as far as I know, this young man's in hell. Now you say, imagine starting a funeral like that. But there was about 200 bikers could see him at that funeral service when he finished preaching. That's the Spirit of God. And you can't do that of your own self. But God must have led him to do it. But they got saved. That's how he started off. I'll tell you, I never guarantee you never had a funeral like that. Somebody hits a lid of the coffin. Now, I've been at plenty of funerals. I was at a funeral one day and a fella cursed me into down below and back out of it and told me what did I think I was doing, preaching the gospel at a funeral. And that man died shortly after that when he had that conversation with me. Now, it's nothing to do with me, and I'm not saying it is, but God's not mocked. God's not mocked. And I tell you, we need to take every opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:12, and I'm near finished, verse 9:10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then he is made strong. And too often we complain about the smallest wee things. But Paul here suffered grief for the Lord and he rejoiced in it. Praise God. I'm going to come to close and just finish with this. Despised by the worthlessness. And this is verse 27. The children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us? How shall this man save us?" They despised him. These sons of worthless Belial, they were worthless. How many knows that? They were worthless. Saul from his boyhood, and like the modern sons of Belial, they made no allowance whatsoever for the call of God on Saul. They knew him, but they failed to see God had called them. And somebody could know you, and somebody could know me, and they could say, "I remember that fella years ago." But they have to realize the call of God makes a difference. And the call of God makes a change. Because you're turned into another person. Another man. Let's stand our feet this morning. Praise God. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. And the brother's going to come and we're going to sing. And I'm not going to call anyone forward or anything like that. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd want prayer, just lift your hand up as a sign to the Lord. And I'm going to remember you in prayer this morning that the Lord will bless you, that the Lord will touch you, that the Lord will do something for you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you have shown us your great power, especially in these days that we've been living. We know you're real. We know your power is real. Help us, Lord, to move in the Spirit of God, in the anointing of God, in the power of God. Move in this fellowship. Move in every home that's here. And move upon every life in this room in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm asking you for the hands raised that you'll meet the need physically, spiritually, financially. These three things that we've mentioned this morning, may you grant them to each and every one of us. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow's holding, but all we can do is trust you because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Lord, there's much on many of our hearts, but we'll bring it all to you. I'm going to pray for your leadership, for your guidance, for the Holy Spirit to have his way in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray for Brother Gary as he goes down to Brother Billy's tonight. We ask you to bless him, strengthen him, anoint him, bring his remembrance, the things you want him to speak and say, and may every spirit in that room be subject to the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Fathers, we come again here this evening, and thou wouldst tarry. Bless us and save souls, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock, the Lord willing, and he's always willing. So the Lord bless you.
We'll sing the hymn, "It Was Down at the Feet of Jesus." Happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were washed away. Mm-hmm. 623, if you want to turn to it.